welcome to Travelitch Radio, the show that lets you scratch your lust for travel from the friendly confines of your home. I'm your host, Dan Schlossberg, but my co-host, Anita Stokes-Thomas, is gallivanting somewhere tonight, so it's just me against the world, and along with my wonderful guest I'm going to introduce in a minute. This is the 330th episode of Travelitch Radio. Every week at 8 Eastern, we interview hoteliers, transportation executives, city, state, and national tourism officials, authors, writers, broadcasters, and others involved in the world of travel. Our special guest tonight on Travelitch Radio is Debbie Ayler of Fredericksburg Regional Tourism, tonight talking about her historic town. Welcome, Debbie, to Travelitch Radio.
Thanks, Dan. I'm looking forward to sharing about our historic area.
Okay, well, first of all, Debbie, please tell our listeners how Fredericksburg got its name.
Well, it was named after Prince Frederick, so a lot of the streets downtown have royal names like Princess Anne, Caroline, Charlotte, things like that. It was established in about 1728, and we are a regional tourism partnership, so we have the counties of Stafford and Spotsylvania that make up our area. And those were
okay. Where
with,
exactly? Okay, go ahead.
Good. I said Spotsylvania was formed in 1721, and Stafford is an old city. 1717 is when that was established, so they're over 300 years old.
And predates the Revolution, it sounds like. Where exactly
Absolutely. Does
Fredericksburg sit on the map? Is it halfway between Washington and Richmond?
Yes, it is. It's just along Interstate 95. It's easy to get to from both Washington and Richmond. At either 95, Route 301, or Route 1.
And history has to be at the top of the tourism agenda. You have battlefields, historic homes and buildings, and even an apothecary, a colonial drugstore. Plus, Fredericksburg was home to two presidents, George Washington and James Monroe. Since we're coming up on an election year in 2020, let's start with those presidents. I always thought G.W. lived in Mount Vernon. Is it true that Monroe Doctrine was conceived and written in Fredericksburg?
Well, George Washington had his boyhood home in Fredericksburg. He lived there with his mother from the age of about 12 to 22. He lived across the river from Fredericksburg in Stafford at a place called Ferry Farm. This is where he learned to be a gentleman and where he did a lot of his growing up. So if he chopped down the cherry tree, it was probably at Ferry Farm.
How about the Monroe Doctrine?
The Monroe Doctrine was might have been conceived there, but by this time the doctrine was written. He was president. Monroe was president, but the museum, the James Monroe Museum and Law Office, has the original desk that the Monroe Doctrine was written on.
Okay, and because of your strategic location, Fredericksburg was a battleground in both the Revolutionary and the Civil Wars, or as some prefer, the war between the states. Would you elaborate for us, please?
Yes. Our area was the site of four major battles of the Civil War. 1862, we had the first Battle of Fredericksburg. That was in December. And that winter, both the North and the South wintered in the area. The North was on the Stafford side of the river, and the South was on the Spotsylvania side of the river. The next spring, the North decided they were going to sneak around behind the Southern soldiers. And so they went up the west of the river and crossed over. Robert E. Lee got word that this was happening. So he left some of his troops at Fredericksburg and took the rest and met Hooker out at Chancellorsville. And that's where we had Chancellorsville first day. And here Robert E. Lee made another unusual strategic move. He divided his army again, and he sent Stonewall Jackson around west again behind the Union soldiers. And he did a surprise attack. This is in 1863. So we had the Battle of Chancellorsville, 1863. And so Stonewall Jackson surprised the troops, and it was late in the day when they didn't think there was going to be any battle that late in the day. So by the time the main part of the battle was over, Stonewall Jackson was surveying the front lines, and he was shot by his own men at this time. It was dark. There was a lot of confusion. And so they took him back to a hospital where they amputated his arm. The people that were working with him saw the arm on the pile of bones and took it and buried it at Elwood, which the next spring would be where the Battle of Wilderness happened. After the Battle of Gettysburg, you have the Battle of Wilderness. And Wilderness is the first place that Robert E. Lee and Stone and U.S. Grant meet each other on the battlefield. It was pretty much a stalemate at one point, and U.S. Grant, instead of pulling his men back like the Union had been doing for the last couple of years, he decides to turn and head towards Richmond. So in between Richmond is Spotsylvania Courthouse. So this is now 1864. So the battle follows the Brock Road all the way to the battle to Spotsylvania Courthouse, where the Confederates stop the Union Army, and they have a long battle there before the North pulls out and then starts heading to Richmond and the eventual fall of the Confederacy.
So
that's our battlefield. Yeah. A lot of history here.
I remember. I've been there, and I remember that. Mary Washington was George's mother, right?
Yeah, she was. She after being at Ferry Farm, she was there alone. Her children had grown and gone. And her daughter, who had married a wealthy planter, moved over to Fredericksburg and had a plantation called Kenmore. And part of the city of Fredericksburg was expanding out towards Kenmore. So George Washington bought his mother a little cottage close to his sister Betty's house. And that's where she lived until she died of breast cancer. Yeah.
Okay. How can visitors experience the day-to-day life of Mary Washington? Are there homes or what in Fredericksburg?
Yes, you can go into her home. They've restored her home. It's the actual house. And then you can also check out her daughter's home, Kenmore, which has the most elaborate ceilings of anywhere you'll see. They have a history museum at Kenmore also. And then over at Mary Washington's house, they have the beautiful gardens and things that you can explore too.
Okay. I was just in Boston last week, and when I hear Kenmore, I think of the T stop at Fenway Park. It's called Kenmore. So that's why it's funny to me to hear that name. Okay. Let's talk about Hugh Mercer and what kind of medical lessons does he give to curious onlookers?
Hugh Mercer also fought in the Revolutionary War, and he was they had him practicing there too. But if you go to the apothecary, they have the all the medicines that would have been used, but they also have the lances that they would have bled you with, and they have the leeches that they would have used to help suck out the impurities that people would get at those times, plus all the remedies and jars and bottles that you can see in there. And upstairs they have the where you can get your wig powdered.
Well, knowing what we know about modern medicine, kind of primitive conditions way back then, weren't they?
Yeah. I think what part of the reason they powdered their wigs was to help control the lice a little bit.
Yes. Okay, we're talking with Debbie Ehler of Fredericksburg Regional Tourism in Northern Virginia. What is Crow's Nest Natural Area Preserve, and what makes it a conservation site?
Well, Crow's Nest is located up in Stafford County, a little north in Stafford. It has access for, not very many cars. It has a shoreline, and you can the trail will take you to viewpoints along the creek. It has a water trail. You can get in the water with your kayak and paddle it. And it has hiking trails. It's you can see many varieties of birds and animal life in Crow's Crow's Nest. It's about 3,000 acres of preserved area.
Oh, nice.
And it's
nice
close
big area.
To,
So while we're talking about Nature's County in Fredericksburg, please tell us about Lake Anna.
Lake Anna is the third largest lake in Virginia. It's located the whole southern end of Spotsylvania County has Lake Anna along it. It's a recreational lake, so it you can have your gas-powered boat, you can do jet skis and paddle boards or canoes. It's a great spot for fishing. They have lots of species of fish that you can catch in there, and it just year-round, it's got a host of things that you can do. There's a state park there. The state park has a beach. Then there's five marinas that are located along the shore that you can rent boats or the tubes or paddle boards or anything like that. So, or you can bring your own. There's lots of houses that you could rent. You can contact the rental agencies around there and stay in a little condo or a house and just enjoy the lake for a whole week or more.
Sounds pretty nice.
Yeah,
well, with lots of open space in Fredericksburg, are the warm weather months the best time to study nature, enjoy the water, or take a hike? People tell me to take a hike almost every day.
Yeah. Well, naturally, I'm going to say every season is great. You can see the leaves changing in the fall and see the farms. And there's lots of pick-your-own pumpkin patches and hay rides that you can take in the fall. Winter has a host of holiday. We have a host of holiday happenings here, or coffee shops where you can knock the chill off while you're sitting there watching the weather. Or spring is great because you have all the blooming things that are happening. Plus, in the spring, you can take the train to D.C. and see the cherry blossoms. That way you don't have to drive there. But summer is great, too, because then we have all the outdoor. Yeah.
Yeah, you kind of touched on this, but I'm going to ask you anyway. Is Fredericksburg
mm-hmm.
a seasonal or year-round destination, and what are your peak and bargain seasons?
I think it's a year-round destination. I would say our peak time is late summer into the fall and early spring are our two peak times, because there's a lot of happenings, a lot of events going on in the spring and in the fall. Summer gets hot. It's Virginia, so it gets a little warm. So that's why those two seasons are our busiest time for especially outdoor events, concerts and wine festivals and triathlons and bike rides and things like that. That's when those happen.
Well, Debbie, I love the warm weather. So can visitors kayak the Potomac River or sample grapes at Potomac Point Winery?
Yes, you can. You can get in the kayak. We have a new park that's open, Widewater State Park, just opened in Stafford, and that's right on the Potomac River. It has a launch site for you to put in your kayak. They'll eventually have a beach where you can get in the water there. But then there's always Lake Anna. You can always get into Lake Anna or the river. We have the Rappahannock River as well as the Potomac River also. So lots of water opportunities. We also have a bunch of reservoirs.
It sounds like that's one of the rivers where George Washington threw a silver dollar across the river. Wasn't that the Rappahannock?
That's the Rappahannock. They recreate that every year on his birthday. In February, they have a big celebration, and they have George Washington or someone try to throw a coin. They have the kids get the opportunity to try it.
That's good. I'm glad my memory came through there. I want to tell our listeners you're listening to Travel Itch Radio with Dan Schlossberg on NDB Radio. Listen live at 8 Eastern or check out the archive show on blogtalkradio.com. or the Travel Itch Radio Facebook page. We're also on iTunes. And we're talking with Debbie Ehler, our Fredericksburg Regional Tourism in Virginia. Debbie, what's the best way for somebody to make maximum mileage from minimal time in Fredericksburg?
The best way to get here is 95, usually during the week. We have a lot of commuters that use that route. So 95 is the best way. You can also get here by train or bus. And once you get here, you have the Ubers and things like that that can move you around if you don't drive yourself.
And if you're coming in from far away, the best airport is Washington National, Reagan National, or Richmond, or where?
It's about the same distance from Dulles as it is to Richmond. Personally think it's a little easier to get from Richmond to the area. It's just a easier airport. It's not quite as intimidating as Reagan or Dulles. Then we also have Reagan National that's right next to downtown D.C.
Yeah, that's true. But if you're going to combine it with a visit to the Capitol, you can fly into one of the Washington airports and hang around there for a few days, see the Smithsonian's, and then come on down to Fredericksburg. Make a nice vacation out of it.
Yeah, that would be good. A lot of people will do the have Fredericksburg area as the starting point, and then use the train or whatever to get to either Richmond or up to D.C. So we also have the VRE that is a good way to get up to D.C. too. That's a little more price effective.
Okay. Debbie, our listeners always like to learn more about our guests, so please tell us where you were born, raised, and schooled, how you got into the travel world, and how you landed in Fredericksburg.
Well, I am a seventh-generation Spotsylvanian, which my husband is also. We both have lived here all our lives. We went to school together, and we went to church together, and we just lived within a mile of I actually live in the same place where I was born and grew up. So that's kind of cool. And I kind of happened into the travel world. I was working at the visitor center and just loved it and have been there for about 12 years.
Wow. That's great. It's always great to hear a local who made good at home. So
it's
good.
A great place. Yeah.
And I'm sure that you and Fredericksburg and the CBB have all won some national awards. Could you talk about them a little bit?
I didn't study up on all the awards that we have. Our biggest thing is A. Smith Bowman Distillery that's located in our area has won World's Best Bourbon several years in a row. So that's one of our notable things. We have Fredericksburg downtown has some sister cities that they work with a lot. We do have a regional airport if somebody has a small plane and wants to get here with a small plane. I think that's a big achievement. We've had a few Virginia awards. We have something called the Virgo Awards in Virginia with the Virginia Destination Marketing Organization that we've won several years in a row for niche tourism. So. With the different events that we've had.
Ah, very nice. Well, I remember going into the James Monroe Museum, President James Monroe, and I think I saw the desk where he signed the Monroe Doctrine. Am I correct?
Yes, you are. That is located in the James Monroe Museum and Law Office. So, yeah, James Monroe's family started that.
That was a neat little museum. I really liked it. You know, sometimes you find little out-of-the-way things and out-of-the-way places that you just don't expect to see. And that really, you know, it was terrific to see that. I really enjoyed that little museum. It was great.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Okay. We're talking with Debbie Ayler of Fredericksburg Regional Tourism in Virginia. Debbie, is there anything that I haven't asked you that you would like to add?
Yes, I would. There's a couple of museums that we have in Spotsylvania. We have an airplane museum that has a great collection of vintage airplanes dating all the way back to World War I. You could come and tour. And then we also have a little train museum that's operated by some enthusiasts in the area. And they have four cars. They have rail that they have permission to take their little work car on every Saturday morning, and they are packed every Saturday morning with kids that just love the train. And it's just a cool, neat little place to check out. We also have a civil rights museum, the John J. Wright Museum, talks about civil rights in the area, and they're housed in the building that was the colored school back in the day. So it's a neat place to go and visit.
Yeah, we talked a lot about the war between the states and all the stuff, all the battles. What about the Revolutionary mm-hmm. War? Is there a lot there from that war as well?
Yes, there's the Rising Sun Tavern. You can see that. That was a replica of what a tavern would have looked like. A lot of the buildings that are downtown are old buildings. So we have a lot of restored old buildings that you can see and hear the history about. And learn about the city of Fredericksburg. Fredericksburg was a port city at that time. You can't get ships up there now, but they had ships that would actually come in during the Revolution. And there was a Fielding Lewis, who was Betty Lewis, Mary Washington's daughter's husband, worked with a gun foundry, and he had his ships that helped supply the Revolutionary soldiers.
Okay. You mentioned...
Go ahead. I said then the apothecary and the things like that you can actually go visit. The St. James House was Mary Washington's lawyer, and they open that every year. And then the Fredericksburg Area Museum also talks about the Indian tribes that were around the area. During John Smith. John Smith came up the Rappahannock River exploring back early
1700s. I visited the apothecary, and I thought it was kind of a scary place.
Yes, you see, if nobody would want to go back to that type of medicine. I would not think that they would want to that type of medicine these days.
But I bet it's big on Halloween. I mean, if you want a scary place, there's the place to go in Fredericksburg, right?
Yeah, that's right. They also have ghost tours downtown, so you could take a walking ghost tour and learn about all the spirits, because there's graveyards, there's the Confederate graveyard, there's the National Cemetery, and then there's the Masonic Cemetery that has, you know, tombstones from, you know, before the city was founded. So
yeah, I remember seeing a few monuments in town too, right?
Yes, there are quite a few monuments in town and in the whole just surrounding area. We have signs that are throughout the downtown and in the area. We have Civil War Trails that are that's a 5-state program, Civil War Trails, and you can get those maps and follow the different battles as they happened in during the Civil War.
And since you mentioned Civil War Trails, I think I remember also Chancellorsville. That battle is a pretty famous battle. There's a walking tour of that battlefield, if I remember correctly.
They're walking tours of all of the battlefields. Fredericksburg, downtown Fredericksburg, has a museum. The National Park Service operates a museum, as well as they have a museum out at Chancellorsville. At Wilderness and Spotsylvania Courthouse, the National Park Service has rangers that are on duty at various times. Usually those are the spring through the fall, and they'll do walking tours with you. And they also have a program called History at Sunset, where they go and take a group and do a very intensive guided tour of the different battlefields or historic sites.
That sounds really great. And by the way, I got to compliment you. I love trains and streetcars and things like that. So when you mentioned you have a train museum, that made me really want to come back to Fredericksburg.
Oh, good. I hope you can come and get a ride on the little working train. And they also have the model trains. They have one whole section that's dedicated to model railroading. They have probably about 10 tracks going at one time with all the model trains on there, but they really have a passion for what they do, and they do,
so
do a good job.
When I think of hand cars
it.
On a train, I think of Laurel and Hardy in their old movies when they're trying to escape and they're on the hand car and they're both pumping real hard to escape. That's the image that comes to my mind. But that's what a hand car is, listeners. For those of you who don't know,
I got the
Debbie. How do Travel Itch Radio listeners learn more about Fredericksburg?
Oh, you go to visitfred.com and check out our website. You can also, from that website, request a visitor guide. We'd be glad to send you a visitor guide with all the information about the region there. You can give us a call at the visitor center. We'll be glad to help you out. That number is our visitor center, Spotsylvania Visitor Center, is 540-507-7090 for anybody that wants to go there.
That sounds great. Our guest tonight has been Debbie Ehler of Fredericksburg Regional Tourism in Virginia. Thank you, Debbie, for being a great guest on Travel Itch Radio.
Well, thank you. It was great to talk with you and share.
Thanks a lot. Enjoy the rest of the summer, and I hope this show brings you lots of business, lots of tourism. And listeners,
okay,
don't go away. We're not done yet here. Looking for great summer reading, there's nothing better than my book, The New Baseball Bible. Notes, nuggets, lists, and legends from the national pastime. The book bargain of the year, it's $17.99 for 424 oversized illustrated pages. Get this offbeat history of baseball at major booksellers or Amazon.com, or better yet, make your way up to Cooperstown, home of the Baseball Hall of Fame inductions. I'll be signing on Saturday, July 20th from 11 to 1. In front of Willis Money Rare Books in Cooperstown. That's right near the Theater Marquee on Main Street. You can't miss it. That's 11 to 1 on Saturday, July 20th, during induction weekend. And that is it for this edition of Travel Itch Radio. Join us again next week, same time, same station, same announcer, and same writer, when Anita Stokes Thomas and I will be talking about Cleveland, one of America's great comeback cities. I was just there for the baseball All-Star game. The NBA All-Star game is coming there. A women's bowling tournament was just up there. It's a really great, beautiful city, and a city making a great comeback. It is no longer Mistake on the Lake. Now, this is Dan Schlossberg saying thank you for your time this time. Until next time, good night.